There's cracks in the mortar where the stones have settled in. Don't a goblin borders make a devil of a din? Won't you take this cold and broken stair to this old lair?
Gather throng. It is I, your friend Jerriford K. Horcrims. It's this old lair. I'm joined, of course, as always, by my good friend Eric Benson, who you may know better as Azerbaijan.
It's like one time.
The notorious EJB, or from your friend and mine, Patrick Groom, Edge Benson, which I mean I've found very tasteful.
Yeah, you know, I think when we do our kill teams, you know, it's going to be Team Edge versus Team Hulkins.
No, we'll have to talk with the designers. Get you some lower thirds.
Well, yeah. Well, yeah, right? But then we get jerseys made up for everyone. Mm-hmm. Anybody wants to support Team Edge?
Mm-hmm.
Jerseys are on the way.
I was just going to say, there's an opportunity. Obviously, yeah. A merch opportunity.
Yeah. Anyways.
But we have sicked Patrick Groom on the Club PA Patreon to try to get more questions of a novel character from the listener base. And in the meantime... so that we can continue to deliver on our responsibility and hopefully still execute in the spirit of the show, we have been running games for an incredibly long time. And we are just going to talk, as a generality about that art form. Yeah. And it's possible that you will be able to derive some tactical... information of a tactical nature that you can put to work in your own games. So when did you get started in this shit?
So I started role-playing through D&D was my first role-playing game.
I'm sure that that's the most common route.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
it's like magic,
right? Exactly. You know, nobody remembers Wyvern, right? Like, everybody remembers magic, right? So,
what the hell is Wyvern?
It was another collectible card game that was out at the same time.
Really?
Yeah. But
no, I was just going to say, I mean, I guess that's proof for your statement.
Right. Exactly.
The fuck is Wyvern?
Yeah. So, but with D&D, what was funny was I was up at my cousin's house, or my aunt's house, in my cousin's room when he was gone. He was away in college. And I was going through all his records and stuff, you know, all the Guns N' Roses albums and all that stuff. And then I slid it was like finding a goddamn treasure.
Like a secret door.
Yeah. I slid over to the other side of the record case, and in it was a D&D expert set, which was it was a purple box.
Oh, the old one, yeah.
Yeah, super old. And he had put all these old D&D stickers on it, and I opened it up, and it was like magic. It was like opening a chest, and... I sat there and read through all the books, and I'm like, oh my god, I want to play this. I want to play this. I want to play this. And I had nobody to play with.
Well, no, I mean, and that's the most common story, right?
Yeah.
It's like everybody has been. It's like trying to find a bassist.
Yeah.
Like, it's exactly the same. Like the sheet that you used to put up in the game store is exactly
exactly.
the same sheet.
Right, with the little pull tabs.
Exactly.
Yeah.
With all the numbers on the bottom,
yep.
And then you have to go and cut like. That is exactly the same
yep.
type of sheet that you put up if you're trying to meet somebody. And again, like I would say, I mean, I've been in many bands as well. I would say that the dynamic is actually very close.
Yeah, and it's I was 10 at the time,
oh,
right?
Oh, of course. But it requires a lot of intimacy.
Yeah.
But if you're starting out at 10, like a lot of the skills that you need to build, you know, to build even a small community like that, you don't have them yet.
Yeah, it's weird. So, you know, with my friend group, I tapped on everybody. I'm like, oh, I want to play. And my buddy Matt Huell, I finally broke him down and said, okay, we're going to play this adventure. And I DM'd it.
Was it?
Or no, I didn't DM it. Matt. And,
yeah.
Actually, no. Never mind. That was my first DMing experience. It wasn't with all those old guys. It was with my buddy Matt.
Well, hang on
a
second.
Crap.
So... Did you have one of those old modules?
Yeah.
Like one of those classic modules?
Yeah, it was like Keep on the Borderlands or something like that.
Holy shit, like the real stuff.
that's really fun. I, to this moment, I forgot about that. Yeah. That was my first time playing, and it was one of the old, yeah, I think it was Keep on the Border or something, in that expert box that was there. Holy crap. It wasn't with...
those grizzled ancients.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Huh.
That's real horror.
But anyways, yeah. So that was my first time DMing, apparently, now that I can remember this. So we played a little bit, and it never really went anywheres until like high school. And then I found a group, and we had a DM, and then, you know, I was a player, and that's where my real role playing kind of took off. And where, we got what into do you, vampire. And
yeah. Oh, sure. Yeah. I was just gonna say, if you were in high school,
yeah,
and you were not exposed either to the game Vampire or to those who played it,
yeah,
you were not lucky. But the idea that your paths wouldn't cross with them at some point,
right,
in the early 90s. At least where I lived, there was no getting around it.
Yeah.
It's like the only thing that you could do, I mean, you had to play a compatible system.
Yeah.
Because there was a period of time where D&D was just like, oh, D&D?
Yeah, yeah,
that's
yeah,
not
yeah.
for me.
Yeah.
It's like, what I want is the world of darkness.
Yeah, give me the world.
But they want the world
mage
of...
or change.
Yeah,
like,
exactly
but
right.
Then there was a fight, right? There was the
yes.
clicks.
So. Yes, right. And it's like, technically, yes, these systems are all compatible, but
yeah.
in order to effectively run them, you know, your storyteller had to really have their shit together and also be rich as hell because
yeah.
that's the,
yeah.
because that's a, because that's a lot of books.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a lot of books. I mean, have you ever purchased a role-playing game that you only read and never actually had a chance to play?
Yes, but it's been more recent than not.
Really?
Because, I mean, recently, you know, I'm older now and I can just buy as many books.
Oh
as
yeah,
I want, well,
especially
right?
if you like if you're at Unplugged.
Yeah.
It's
oh,
like
yeah. Oh,
that's
God,
gonna be rough.
Unplugged is like a treasure trove.
Unplugged
of...
I wrote about this in the post. Unplugged is incredibly dangerous.
Yeah.
Because it's nothing I don't want.
Well, and here was the one experience that we had when you and I were walking around and we sat down and played Dust.
Oh my God.
It was so hard not to tell George that I wanted to buy all of his miniatures
well,
right there.
Especially when they're dropping all that
Cthulhu stuff.
Shit. Yeah. Oh, God.
And that's what's, I think that's what's really special about Unplugged is that the PAX audience is now getting into, they're getting in front of all of these new board games and all these designers. And
well, yeah. I mean, it's like we had the room, like even when the PAX was getting started, we had a little bit of room.
Yeah.
And it's like, whatever room we can throw at tabletop, we have to do it.
Yeah.
And now that part of the show is a show.
Is a show.
Right? But here's the danger, right? It's like at PAX, you know, there are things to purchase, but
yeah.
a lot of the stuff that you see at PAX really is a preview.
Yeah,
it
exactly.
really is something that's forward-looking.
Exactly.
It's something that you might be able to purchase in a few months.
Right.
Maybe a year in some cases, right?
Right.
Maybe it's very early.
Right.
If you go to Unplugged, that shit is there.
Yeah, there for
it's
purchase.
Two things. You can play an entire game
yep.
under more or less optimal circumstances.
Right.
Right? And then you can buy it.
Yeah.
And
then you can play it that night with your crew there. That's the
there.
Best part.
Yeah.
And that's what I love about any kind of board gaming show, but specifically Unplugged is...
It's real expensive for me.
It's bad. Like, and what was really amazing was, and it kind of brings, you know, tears to your eyes, is when you see the open play area packed
stuffed.
Till midnight.
Stuffed.
With well, people playing
again,
games.
Again, you know, that's honestly like, if anything presaged the idea of PAX Unplugged, it had to be the tabletop area at East.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
If you're on one of the sky bridges and
I took
then
a
you
picture.
Look left, yeah, you look left, it's like, okay, well that would be anywhere else that would be a convention.
Yeah.
Like by itself that's
yeah.
a con, right?
Yeah. It puts a smile on my face from ear to ear to see that many people sitting down playing.
Well, no,
games.
And for me it's like, I mean, I've often called that area the steam valve of the show.
Yeah.
Because
oh, that's a good
it,
idea.
Well, yeah, because it, you know, access to stuff certainly in the traditional area, yeah, I mean, it can definitely be tough. I mean, there's only so many systems. There's only, you know, the booths are only so big. Like, there's
right.
a bunch of limitations. And then, of course, 6 o'clock is the end time.
Right.
Right? None of that exists on the tabletop
no,
side.
It's...
And, I mean, I have to tell you, like, the fact that you know, it might be the, like, what are we doing next? Well, let's go check out Tabletop.
Yeah.
It's like that moment, like that turn, to have been a part of that at all, like to have provided a context where people could get their mitts on that type of stuff.
Right.
And then find out that, you know, what they really like is these interesting systems.
Yeah.
For me, like, that's huge.
Yeah.
That's huge.
It's a conduit to experience all of these other
games.
Yeah,
exactly. Like, maybe you like games in general.
Right.
Maybe you like these systems.
Right.
Maybe you're just a curious, clever person, and there's this whole other way to play games.
Right.
In this context with these other people. And also, I really, really like sitting down and meeting people.
Yeah, and it's
at
the best.
Shows.
It's here, the best.
But here, so, but do you remember an RPG that you had purchased and really read and, like, internalized and mastered, and then there was never anybody to play?
Yes, Blood and Sand.
What the hell is that?
It's an RPG that is PvP.
What?
Yeah.
Is it like an arena?
Yeah, essentially. It's amazing. And we haven't played it. I've never had a chance to play it.
Wild, what the hell? Okay, but who's it by?
I can't remember the designer's name.
It's indie for real.
But yeah, it's super indie. It's very new. And I cannot remember. I shouldn't say very new, but in the past several years.
Oh, okay, so it's not. This isn't as a young man.
No, this is one that I've been dying to play because it's literally just PvP. So, I mean, what an interesting concept, because most RPGs don't, they're cooperative. It's a collaborative storytelling game.
Ultimately.
So this is still collaborative, but you're fighting your other players, or other players at the table. And I think that's wild.
It's nuts.
Yeah. So I think it'd be really interesting to try that type of RPG out. How do you interact in that scenario? How do your characters interact? What happens? So,
does it emphasize a grid? Like, is it?
No, it's you can do both. You can do theater of the mind. You can do grid based. So it's like any kind of combat, but you can tell a story through it as well. So there's that's one.
What kind of story? Like of these.
Yeah, of how you come to fight, like why you tell a tale of why player X is has some vendetta against player Y.
Man, you could tell some fucking whacked out
stories
with
that. It's like the Especially, Ninja Gaiden where you clash at the end. But
you could tell some really, really whacked out if you played it as a campaign and you approached it in a way that made death a state rather than an end.
Yeah.
You could tell some really, really whacked out, like Gene Wolfe style crazy pants stories in that in that context.
Yeah. And there's two other games that I want to play. One we talked about, which was the not Worldwide Wrestling.
That's happening.
It's Worldwide. Is it Worldwide Wrestling?
Yeah. Yes.
I read through that. And
it's
I'm like,
happening.
This is going to be fun. I want to play this. It's such a great, because, you know, I grew up watching wrestling, right?
Well, yeah. One does.
Yeah. And so it's kind of interesting to take that concept, which is already theater, right?
It's so meta.
Yeah, it's taking that and making it your own. What a cool.
Well, no, it's
way
like
to...
so. Not long ago, I had occasion to speak to a wrestler named Tyler Breeze, and I was telling him about this role playing game because he plays on like a WWE role playing show called Rollout.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I mean, every motherfucker has got a role-playing show. That's what's up. But I was talking to him about this, and I was like, well, you know there's a role-playing game that's based on wrestling, covers kayfabe, you know, talks about, you know, covers the ring, you know, inside and outside, and all the way down to the creative, which is what they call their dungeon master, all the way down to the creative determining who's winning matches.
Yeah.
And he was blown the fuck away, and you would be.
Yeah, because it just mimics the experience that's already happening in real life in the WWE.
Yeah, right? And so I grabbed a copy of the book, and I was like showing him all the different sort of templates
roles,
for the different types.
Yeah,
and he was just like, what? Like, that must have been like some through the looking glass type shit.
That's got to be the weirdest experience ever, right?
Yeah, so.
But what have you done?
Oh, yeah, don't fear
into?
Not. I'm coming after it.
Yeah.
So. I had, like, my favorite setting. No, I love Mage, but I've played Mage. Like, actually played it.
Yeah.
a bunch of times. In fact, that was the first role-playing game I ever got Mike to play.
Really?
Yeah. It's so funny because Mage, I consider, I mean, even if you're into World of Darkness,
yeah,
I consider Mage a little rarefied. Like,
right.
It's kind of whacked out. I mean, and so for...
Because you're the Oblivion stuff, right?
And oh, it's bonks. And especially with, like, the technocracy. Mm-hmm. Honestly, the tech... I think it doesn't work like that in the modern incarnation of Mage. But what they were talking about with the technocracy, like, they couldn't even have imagined what a trivial matter surveillance of an entire population would become.
Right,
Like, they're like, oh, yes, well, they use magic. And it's like, no, you don't even have to use magic. People will tag their own faces in their photos and upload them to Facebook. Like, this is the easiest thing on earth. People will do it for you if they feel incentivized. And so, but for me, it's actually another World of Darkness game that I bought, internalized 100%. I mean, mastered as at least as closely as I'm going to master a system and a world. And that's Wraith.
Really?
Yeah. I could never find anybody to play Wraith.
Interesting.
So, I'm not even sure. I've never even met anybody who's played the game.
That's
honestly
actually kind of true. I've never met anybody. I've never played it.
Yeah.
I've always been on the vampire side.
Well, yeah.
So, you know.
Sure. I mean, a lot of people are. I mean, I played some vampire, but I definitely knew people who were very, very into, like, werewolf.
Werewolf was huge.
Yeah.
Was huge.
Well, but also, like, the werewolf player, like, you're going to have people who play both, but in my experience, people either play werewolf or they play vampire. Like,
yeah, and I wonder, is that just because of...
Ne'er the twain shall meet.
Right. Because of, like, you love that mythos, or how does that work?
No, because they're radically different philosophies.
Yeah.
Like, and it's like that with a lot of World of Darkness stuff. I mean, really, it's a battle of ideas, and that's especially
that's true
for Mage.
Yeah.
You're really, I mean, Mage is a hyper-philosophical game about differing interpretations of reality. Like, it's the jarriest game
ever created.
Well, yeah. It's like I'm coming up on Philip K. Dick. I'm coming up on Roger Zelazny.
Yeah.
And it's like, yes, this is exactly what I'm about.
Yeah.
Let's seriously, like, let's pretend to play this game, but also let's just talk about what's real for 3 hours.
Yeah, yeah,
hours.
Yeah. Let's have a fucking conversation.
let's get deep.
Bitches.
Let's figure this shit out.
Yeah. Well, that's like Vampire too. That's a political game, right?
Yes. See, I was just gonna say, Vampire is about politics.
Yeah. So it's a wildly different experience. So, I mean, I've known people that, like, that game has been a friend-ender. Literally,
it definitely
because
is.
Of the politics.
Exactly, right. So, Vampire is about politics, and I think that Werewolf is too, but it's about the politics. It isn't about politics in the abstract.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the politics of the people.
Yeah.
So, it is very, very much sort of an anarchist, right? Like,
right.
We're going to shape this. It's about instinct,
right?
And it's about protecting the people that you love.
Yeah, exactly.
You see what I
mean?
Yeah, no,
it's absolutely. It's a different I don't want to say dichotomy, but it's a different paradigm, right? Of
absolutely. And each of them are in a certain way. But like I say, Wraith is completely outside any of that stuff. And so we talk, you know, indeed in the very last cast we talked about how, you know, role-playing games constitute this intimate space that you invite people into.
Yeah.
And it's not always going to work. And it's not always going to work because of how real these metaphors are.
Yeah.
Right.
Especially
you're going to get into real trouble. If you do not approach this seriously, you can get into real trouble, relationship-ending trouble.
Right. Especially when you step outside of the fantasy D&D realm and get into more of these real indie
modern
settings,
stuff.
Modern settings.
Yeah.
It's a wildly different experience that you can have. And it's neat. I mean, it's fantastic, but it can have different effects on people, right?
It can have ramifications.
Yeah.
Real ramifications.
Yeah. But I think that's just part of the process, but it's amazing to see that...
It's an index of how powerful these games are.
Right, exactly.
Right. And so for me, like, that's one of the things that I thought was so funny. It's like, when I really sit down and think about it, and I try to think about, okay, why were people so scared of this stuff? right? Well, why were they so scared of a game like Dungeons and Dragons? Aside from like the obvious reasons where they, you know, they saw these books and kids are reading them constantly,
and they're playing in the dark, and they're wearing a cape
or some shit.
Yeah, like Tom Hanks is going off into a fucking cave.
Yeah, exactly. Know. Right. It's like young people are scary. I get it.
Yeah.
I got a couple in my house. I know what it can be. I know what it's like to have a child and then, you know, to see them become a whole person. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe you're not going to like it all the time.
Yeah.
Maybe you're going to have to contend with some of your own shit.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And no one wants to do that ever. But they weren't wrong.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing for me. They weren't wrong. Like, these games are incredibly powerful.
Yeah. They have,
like, they have every reason. People. They have every reason to legitimately fear them.
Yeah.
Like, without any reservations. Like, I'm gonna take a moment to give them props.
Yeah.
Because that's the situation that we're in.
Right.
Like, it is what you get up to, especially in some of these World of Darkness games, but it can happen in any game. Whenever the walls come down, like whenever the group has reached a point of intimacy with each other, it can happen. It doesn't actually matter which one.
Yeah, it doesn't matter
when
what
they are all
when
they are all around a table. It's like a seance.
Yeah.
Like when they're all around a table imagining the same thing.
Exactly.
That's a huge. big deal.
Yeah. And
right.
It, for lack of a better term, for me, it's a beautiful thing, right? Like to have five different players or six different people come together and create this.
And look,
world, this
and
space.
It's hard to get two people to agree on anything.
Right, right, exactly.
Right, and here we got
five
people
collaborating on a narrative.
Yeah,
that's powerful
stuff. It's a big deal. And so, like I say, so these things are intimate for real. But where Wraith gets whacked out. So Wraith is, as you would expect, it's about the ghosts.
You're right.
You know, might have heard about them.
Things, you know.
For a while, there was my favorite products that they made were the ones where they took the settings but then talked about the settings like hundreds of years prior.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
And so it's like there's a lot of medieval stuff in the other games, like Mage and Vampire.
Right, like, yeah, like I loved, and nobody liked this edition. I love Vampire the Dark Ages.
Well, yeah.
Because I love that setting.
Well, no, because it's amazing.
Like, it's fucking great.
The one for Mage was amazing, too.
Was it really?
I was not a werewolf player, so I don't know what happened with them, but I'm sure it was rad. I mean, these sub-settings were so rich.
Yeah.
The Wraith setting, do you know what it was? Mm-mm. World War I.
Oh, that had to be amazing.
It was exquisite. And so a big part about Wraith, when you have a character in that setting, is they have things that they wouldn't be a ghost if there wasn't something that was holding them
right to this world,
to the
physical
world.
Plane, right?
Right. And that by itself is a big idea, but the influx of ghosts from the Great War is the challenge of that setting, right? But here's the thing. So, like
That's
I said, it's intimate,
wild.
Right?
Yeah.
So, one of the things, and I suspect one of the things that made Wraith so difficult to get a game around is that someone else at the table plays your shadow.
Fascinating. Okay.
So they're always trying to fuck you up. They're always trying to get you to let go of this stuff and be obliterated.
God, that's almost like a PvP in and of itself.
Exactly, but it's built right in. And so imagine the type of circumstances. Imagine the type of interpersonal circumstances your shadow could uncover.
Do you?
Because here's the thing. It's like when we talk to Amy the Falcon about Walnut Dawngrass. Mm-hmm. When she made Walnut, she did not really understand how much of herself she'd put in there. You always think, because with the abstractions present in the system, obviously the character is a piece of paper at the end of the day, right? You don't always know what you've done.
Right.
And then we're getting into the game, and we are, like, in the course of this game, figuring out, like, very, very real manifestations and, like, really investigating sexuality.
Yeah. But it allows you to explore this stuff
exactly,
in a safe space.
I completely agree, but she had not understood...
Right.
How much she was how much she was exposing of herself.
Yeah,
right?
And it was amazing because a couple times after the episode, she'd come out of that chair and be like, wow, that got really real. Like,
I
never realized how much of me was in that. She would literally say those words.
Oh, yeah. And so that's why it's my great pleasure, because we sort of live in the same neighborhood. So after C-Team games, I gave Amy a ride home.
Yeah.
And because that happens, we can actually have a chance, because when I leave the game, you know exactly what like.
Oh, yeah.
You leave the game, it's real hard to get to sleep.
Oh, yeah. You're pumped. You're thinking about...
You can't come down, right?
Yeah.
And so, when I'm talking to, Amy and I have a, a good half hour, 45 yeah. minutes on the way home, at least at that time of day, to go over some of the actual shit that mm-hmm. sometimes gets stirred up here. But I can think about... A lot of modern indie RPGs actually have systems in place for you to communicate that you're getting too close
yeah.
to something legitimate.
Yeah.
Like, you're getting too close, like, where it's scary. Because mm-hmm. we're supposed to be able to do these things. Like I say, it's an intimate space. We're supposed to be able to share these things with each other.
Mm-hmm.
But there has to be a way to say, hey, we're...
Yeah. It's like a breaker, a circuit breaker, right?
Exactly. And so, like I say, I have read about multiple modern RPGs in the indie space that specifically have mm-hmm. mechanisms for you to call stuff like that out.
Right. Example, Inheritance. Playing Inheritance.
Oh, well, I was going to say, because I have never read the storyteller's book for Inheritance, so yeah. I don't know if it covers stuff like that.
So Inheritance is
this incredible game.
Yeah, it was made by our friend Luke, who wrote, co-authored, or did he write The Burning Wheel all himself?
I don't know.
I can't remember.
I mean, I know that Tor worked on him.
Yeah.
Tor worked on it with some of the custom content for Torchbearer and then Torchbearer mm-hmm. itself. But as far as Burning Wheel itself, I'm not sure.
Yeah. So anyways, Luke Crane made this amazing half LARP, half murder mystery, half RPG experience.
That's like three halves.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Three halves of a full. That's how awesome it is. It's that many
Okay,
halves,
I'll give you that.
Right?
I'll give you that.
So, but in this, it gets so intimate that there are times when it becomes physical. Like,
yes.
It's about a Viking family and the funeral for their grandfather.
And the will.
And the will that comes with it. And we literally had played this game where somebody threw somebody else on the ground because he was trying to strike them. And there is a way to do that in the game that to show physical emotion or physical action.
Yeah, either aggressive or romantic.
Exactly. And it's just by particular touches on the wrist.
Yeah, it's where it is on the arm.
Yeah, so there's these circuit breakers to allow you to... show and
exactly to communicate these things,
yeah.
But to communicate in a way where you can endure it,
yeah, exactly,
right,
yeah. And if it ever gets too much, the in this game the DM is called the facilitator.
Yes,
the facilitator,
and there's co-facilitators
yeah,
as well,
yep,
if possible,
the facilitator will come in and create a separation because of signals that the player has given,
mm-hmm.
That this is kind of getting a little too
yeah, and I would say that's very Luke.
Yeah, yeah, but it's great. I mean, it's especially in that type of game, in that setting.
It's how it should be.
Yeah,
because like we've said, like these are important games, and what makes them important is that they can dredge up some of this stuff, and you have to be able to feel safe in order for it to happen.
Exactly,
right?
And the two times I've seen Inheritance, I've never seen people so invested in a role-playing game than in those games. It was amazing to see the emotion that got brought out.
It's wild.
One of our friends had never played a role-playing game before, and
was that at the birthday?
Yeah,
yeah.
And she stepped into the role of this one character, and she basically stole the show. Like, she was amazing. And it was her first role-playing experience ever. And that's the power of, I think, role-playing in this game.
Oh, definitely. But like I was saying, so when it comes to Wraith, especially Wraith, because you're really talking about death and cessation of being, and then there's somebody at the table who is really, like, needling you and fucking with you, that's a to me, that it seems like that could get dangerous very quickly. And so, I mean, I suspect that these are some of the challenges that make playing that game
right.
so tough. But it's right on the edge of something really vast.
Right. It'd be fun to.
You would have to be very, very careful, and you'd have to have the right people
the right
around.
Plans. Yeah.
Because, you know, just because of the theme and how it's constructed, like some of the abstractions that would ordinarily protect players from the deeper concepts here, mm-hmm. they made like the rails are not there, right? Absolutely. Gathered Throng, what an absolute pleasure it's been. Thanks so much for hanging out with Eric and I. I hope that you have enjoyed this off-kilter examination of the role-playing space. Thanks so much for rolling through, and we will see you next time.
Bye.